chapter 9, but don't get too comfortable there because we're going to be looking around the New Testament here in just a minute, and not too long at all. I'll just give you the outline of chapter 9, then we're going to look at some verses throughout the New Testament and then come back to Exodus to finish up. Don't you love to study the Word of God? And there's two kinds of study. There's the kind of study that you do just for you. In other words, when you sit down and you don't plan on using a passage to teach a lesson, or you're just studying the Bible to hear from God. I love that because the Lord speaks to us through His Word. And then sometimes we have the privilege not just of studying it in order to get something out of it, but also to share that with other people. And that should be an ultimate goal. Even in the little study that you do for your life, is that would change you to be able to share it with people. I really like Exodus, and I can't really put my finger on why. The first half of Exodus, the last half of Exodus is very challenging. The last half of Exodus is a description of the building of the tabernacle. And I taught a Sunday school class in Maryland, and we went through it chapter by chapter, and all the symbolism and all the colors and all the different features of the tabernacle. And you understand that the tabernacle is the temple that is not a temple, but it was the place where they would worship when they were traveling through the wilderness. And God designed that and gave that design to Moses. And I went through that exhaustively in Sunday school. It took us over a quarter. And I was really having a good time. And there was this lady in our church named Shirley, a real sweet lady, and she came to me a little before I was finished with it, and she said, "You know, I know you're having a good time teaching this, but I'm really not getting much out of it." So that was maybe study for me more than study for her. I have a friend, I haven't talked to him in over a decade, I guess he's not much of a friend now, but an acquaintance at least, up in Sandpoint, Idaho, named Jerry Favor. He's a pastor up there, really a fine man. And I've known him since Salt Lake City, and he made a comment that really stuck in my mind one time. He said, "You have to study the Bible for yourself. If you just study it for other people, you're going to get yourself in trouble. You got to spend time in the Bible for you." That's a danger as a pastor. I can spend so much time studying for other people, I don't spend enough time studying for myself. But I get a lot out of Exodus, and I saw something here in chapter 9. And you've seen it already. In fact, it's throughout Exodus, this part of Exodus. It has to do with the hard heart. A hard heart. Now, we're going to look at tonight three things. We're going to look at the cause of a hard heart, and I'm going to show you that in the New Testament and Proverbs. And then we're going to look at the evidence, the kind of people that have a hard heart. And then we're going to look at the evidence of a hard heart. And then I think by then you'll see the last little thing, which is the solution for a hard heart. A hard heart. You know, my dad used to tell me I had a hard head. And what he meant was I wouldn't listen. I think there's a lot of similarity there between the hard head and the hard heart. Just real quick, if you're in Exodus chapter 9, I'm not going to read the chapter to you, but let me tell you what happens in this chapter. Again, the judgments of God continue. They're the 10 plagues upon Egypt. We've already seen the plague of the water, which was turned into blood in chapter 7. Then we saw the plague of the frogs in chapter 7. We saw the plague of the lice and the flies and the livestock, or the lice and the flies there in chapter 8. We're going to see tonight in verses 1 through 7 the diseased livestock. The boils in chapter 9, verses 8 through 12, and then the grievous hail in verses 13 through 26. And then, and this is what I will read to you, at the end of those three, we have a discussion between Pharaoh and Moses, which reveal more about his hard heart. And let me ask you to stand for the reading of that particular portion, and we'll pray, and then we'll jump over and look at some things in the New Testament and the Old as well. Exodus 9:27, the Bible says, "Pharaoh sent," now this is after the cattle and the boils on man and beast and the grievous hail. "And the Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, 'I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough that there be no man no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and ye shall stay no longer. And Moses said unto him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how that the earth is the Lord's. But as for thee and thy servants, I know that ye will not yet fear the Lord God. And the flax and the barley was smitten, for the barley was in the ear, and the flax was bold. But the wheat and the rice were not smitten, for they were not grown up. And Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh, and spread abroad his hands unto the Lord. And the thunders and hail ceased, and the rain was not poured upon the earth. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more, and hardened his heart, he and his servants. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, tonight, Lord, I pray that it would be a fearful thing to us to have a hard heart. I pray that we would be very very prayerful, very determined, exert great effort if necessary to avoid having a hard heart. And Lord, I know that it's altogether possible for believers to have a hard heart. We see that in the New Testament. And it's also certainly the case that lost folks can have a hard heart. We see that here in Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And Lord, sometimes each of us can harden our heart in certain ways, not allowing it to be pliable for you to speak to us, to change us. We've made some decision perhaps that we will not turn back from, that is against your will, and as a result of that, we harden our heart. Lord, I pray you'd forgive us for that, and God, I pray that we would have a soft heart. Lord, help us tonight to understand what it would mean to have a hard heart and how to escape from that calamity. We pray that you'd bless our time, and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, Pharaoh wouldn't believe that God was going to judge him again. His heart's hardened. 18 times in Exodus, at least 18, I may have miscounted, the Bible talks about Pharaoh's heart being hardened. Sometimes he hardens it, sometimes God hardens it. But in any case, we know Pharaoh had a hard heart. So let's just look into some things. First of all, the question is, what is the cause of a hard heart? Turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. We're going to look at one verse there and then come back to Psalms and Proverbs in a minute. So John chapter 12. And we're going to look at verse 40. In fact, I'll begin in verse 37, John chapter 12 and verse 37. The Bible says, though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. Now, the thing I want you to see there in verse 40 is that phrase, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart. It is a mysterious thing to us in some regard. The Bible says God is not willing any should perish. And I am not, if you don't know anything else, you should know this, I am not a Calvinist. I do not believe that God created people just to send them to hell. But as a people, Israel rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, and this accomplished some things in God's plan. Of course, one of them is, as Joseph described it so well, they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good to save much people alive, and that's us. Amen? So aren't you glad that they, in that sense, that they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, as sad as it is? And then secondly, we know that the Bible says in Romans that God, and I'm paraphrasing, but that he has given us the time of the Gentiles where we would have a chance to hear the gospel and be saved. and that because of that, Israel has been set aside for a while. He's not done with them. Amen? He's going to, that's the one of the greatest errors in theology, is people that think God is finished with Israel. And I got on that hobby horse about 6 months ago for a while, and I think I got over it. I hope you understood what I was trying to teach you. But Romans tells us plainly, God had not forsaken his people Israel. Hebrews promises that one day Israel as a nation will be saved. I just want you to know, church is church, Israel is Israel. Just understand the Bible the way it was written. Don't start trying to change it all around to make it mean something it doesn't mean. Church is church, Israel is Israel. God's not finished with Israel yet, but they're set aside. And at this time, there's this time of the Gentiles that you and I have. So what he describes here in John chapter 12 is it's a work of God in the nation of Israel, but he describes, and this is what I wanted you to see, he describes having a hard heart as spiritual blindness. Now, we understand physical blindness. We've seen people that are physically blind, and they cannot perceive certain things. If there was a blind person in our midst today, for example, they would be unable to look up at the wall and see the clock. And tell us what time it was. They could not see that clock. It would be impossible for them to understand something that's very simple for you and I to look at the clock and say, oh, it's 25 till 7. Pastor has 30 minutes left and he's got to quit. And they would not be able to see that clock. They couldn't perceive that. But spiritual blindness is the same thing. That is, they just can't see the obvious truth in the Word of God. Now, you take that for granted. I hope you don't take it too much for granted. Aren't you glad that you realized that you were a sinner and needed a Savior? Aren't you glad that when you heard the gospel, maybe not the first time, but sometime, that you asked the Lord Jesus to save you? Do you take that for granted? I don't. And I don't understand all the mysteries, except I know this. God's not willing any should perish, and I'll just leave it at that for now. But spiritual blindness and hardness of heart are the same thing. Now, again, I mentioned, and I may have too much material here for my time, but I'll let you out in time. Is it possible for a born-again Christian to have some spiritual blindness? Sure. You know what we do? The Bible tells us that some sin, or that sin in general, is going to have a price. And we say to ourselves, not for me. I can handle it. It's other people that'll have to pay that price. We had it was so funny to me. We had a camp up in Utah, and there was this evangelist. And this guy is, what's he got to be, 90 by now? I don't know. He's way up in the years. Harvey Seidel is his name. All I know is I felt like he was an old man compared to me. And so if that's still the case, he's getting up there. And Harvey Seidel is a missionary in Thermopolis, Wyoming. He's a country preacher. He and Don Stevens would be two peas in a pod. Harvey Seidel, his missions model was this: don't be idle, pray for Seidel. And it wasn't Seidel. He wouldn't let you say that. It was Seidel was the way he pronounced his name. So anyway, he preached the message to the camp, and he said, you know, he said, there's a door between the kitchen and the meeting room, and there was a room where the counselors met. And he said, that door says cooks only. And he says, but I have seen all you counselors and you campers and stuff going through that door. And you read that sign, it says cooks only. But you think that for some reason you're special and you can go through that door, even though it says cooks only. And so later on that night... And so he says, the problem you have is you think that that sign is for everybody but you. It's for somebody else. So later on that night, I wanted a cup of coffee. We were sitting in the meeting room. I walked up to the door to walk through the door to get a cup of coffee. Harvey Seidel says, can't you read the sign? And I said, yes, sir, that's for somebody else. I want a cup of coffee. But we do that with the Bible. We take parts of the Bible and we set it aside. Folks, the Bible's for everybody. And it's a type of spiritual blindness that we can fall into. There are things we read in the Bible that we don't understand because our eyes are not open to them. Let's look at a second cause of spiritual blindness, of a hard heart. Spiritual blindness is one of them. And in this case, the Lord did some things. I'm going to leave it at that. Go to Psalm 95. Let's look at another cause of a hard heart. Psalm 95. Now, you might be asking by now, well, Pastor, what is a hard heart? I'm going to come to that here in just a minute, so just be patient. Probably could have done these in reverse order, but the cause of a hard heart, spiritual blindness, not seeing things spiritually. And then Psalm 95, he says in verse 8, harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Now, we looked at this psalm by way of Hebrews just a couple of Sundays ago. And you remember the day of provocation is the day when Israel said, we think the promised land is a great place. We know God said we could take it, but we don't believe we have the ability to take that promised land. And we're not willing to try because there are giants in the land. And if we go in there, we're going to all be killed. And so we're not going to try. God said try. God said we could win, but we're not going to try. In other words, we don't believe what God said. Simple. And so he says what they did was they hardened their heart. Now, you're going to see an irrevocable connection between a hard heart and not believing God. One of the things you might not be able to believe God because of is because of spiritual blindness. You can't see it. In this case, the reason they didn't believe God is because they looked at the circumstances and they said it's too hard. You say, Pastor, after having lived decades and decades of life, have you learned to get past that? No, I still have a problem of looking at circumstances. I've got to still remind myself it's not the circumstances that matter, it's God that matters. Amen? That's important. I've used the illustration, so I'll just briefly touch on it. When I get on the roller coaster at the theme park, I say to myself, this looks scary, but I know these people don't want to get sued, so they've tried real hard to make it safe. And I sit there and I ride the roller coaster and it throws me this way and it whips me that way and it goes upside down and I come back and I've said to myself, I'm just going to trust the guy that built the roller coaster. And yes, I know people die on roller coasters, but I haven't yet. And, you know, I don't think about what if they didn't engineer that curve just right. I really don't have the wherewithal to do those calculations, and I just trust the guy that built it. Folks, we just got to trust God with our life. Amen? Amen? I mean, to not believe that God can get you through something is provoking God. It is saying God doesn't keep his promises. Folks, don't call God a liar. A hard heart says, and it's again, it's, they hardened their heart in the day of provocation. They said, we don't believe it. God said, take it. The two spies said, let's take it. Moses said, let's take it. We don't believe it. We're not going. That's a hard heart. A refusal to believe God. Now look at Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28. Causes of a hard heart: spiritual blindness, refusing to believe God. And then in Proverbs 28 and verse 14, he says, happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Now, what he's talking about when he says fearing God is obeying God. And a simple illustration would be this. There are children that obey, they should obey their parents because they love them, but they obey their parents because they're afraid of the consequences of disobedience. That's fear of the parent. And we should obey God because we understand God is a father that will correct us, isn't he? The Bible says if he doesn't chasten you, you're not a child of his. So if you're sinning and sinning and sinning, you're not seeing any chastening. I understand that's the situation. The situation is you're not a child of God. He doesn't chasten those that aren't his children the same way he chastens his children. And yet there are some people, and here I think more lost people than saved people perhaps are described, but there are some people, they just don't fear the Lord. And they'll do anything. And what he says here is that not fearing the Lord is hardening your heart. So I will just say this to you. If you have no regard for God's will or for God's commands, or if you have no regard for what God expects of you, you have a hard heart. That's one of the causes, is refusal to fear the Lord. And you see that there in Proverbs 28 when he says in verse 14 that if you fear, you're happy. If you harden your heart, you're going to fall into mischief. And again, we could ask ourselves, do we believe that or do we think it's not right? So some causes of a hard heart: spiritual blindness, refusing to believe, failure to fear God. Now, you're going to see some things. And interestingly, go to the book of Mark, and let's start in Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Now, I was doing a topical study, and I was fascinated by the fact that Mark and Romans are quite vocal about this subject, to the exclusion of the other Gospels, really. And the reason that fascinates me is because there's a connection between Mark and Romans. Mark was writing to a Roman mindset, the Roman mentality of having servants. And Mark presents Christ as the perfect servant. And in each of these passages that describe a hard heart are found in those two books. And I'll just read the ones from Mark. We're going to be stepping back through Mark, so we'll go to the end to start. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 14, the Bible says, "Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat." Now, let's just stop right there. The Lord has risen from the dead, and what does it say in verse 13? "Neither believed they them." In other words, they had, it's the story that we looked at the other day of the folks on the road to Emmaus. In verse 12 is the synopsis of that story in one verse. And then those people went back and they went to the residue, that's the rest of the disciples, and they didn't believe. So then in verse 14, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Have you ever had somebody tell you, give you an eyewitness account of something, and you just tell them that can't be true? I can't believe you saw that. And what you're essentially saying to them is that either you're mistaken or you're misleading me. I don't believe you. It's not possible. Why would we do that? Why would we tell somebody they couldn't have seen what they said they saw? Because we're evaluating their account in light of what we believe to be possible. These 11 just didn't think it was possible. Now, they should have. Of course, it's easy for me to judge them. I'm not there. How many times have I thought that what God said was not possible? Right? How many times have I thought that the promises of God were not going to come to pass, perhaps? They didn't believe when these two fellows said, "Look, we met Jesus on the road. He's risen. He's risen. I'm telling you, we saw him." Nah, you're mistaken. That can't be. That's impossible. Those kind of things don't happen. That's hardness of heart. What's the faith of a child? You know what children do? Children don't evaluate things the way we do. Somebody, over the years, I've learned a little bit about money, and I've come to the place to where I can sometimes, Lord willing, do a fair job of evaluating someone's financial situation and tell them whether or not they're in trouble or not, you know, or how they're going to get through this or what they need to do. And not an expert at it, but just learned through experience. But, you know, a little child, they don't have that wherewithal to evaluate things and break things down. They just believe what you tell them. There was a missionary, I guess you could call him a missionary, that came through our church in Utah, and he had a little guillotine about that tall, and he put a carrot in that guillotine and chop it in half. And then he would ask, he said, "I can ask a little child to come up here." And he said, "In a little child up to about the age of 5 or 6, if I ask him to put their finger in there, no problem. They just believe me." And of course, it's a trick guillotine, and it doesn't chop their finger in half. And he said, but if I ask an 8 or 9 year old, there's no way they're going to put their finger in that guillotine. They've looked at that thing. They got it figured out. Don't even try to get them to put their finger in there. They're not going to do it. But the little child just trusts. I want to be a little child as far as God's concerned. I just want to trust. Amen? You know, I can use all of my ability to evaluate, and I can use all of my experience of things I've seen in the past, and I can harden my heart to the point of where I don't believe what God said. I want to be that little child again, amen? And just trust God. And, you know, I of all the days in my life that I have enjoyed, having little children was one of the greatest. I'm glad in eternity there are going to be little children. You know there were going to be little children in eternity, amen? You knew that, right? The Bible says that the child is going to play with the lion and so on. And that in eternity there are going to be children. I don't know how that all fits together, but the Bible talks about it. I love little children. I like to just hear their little innocent laugh and see them have a good time and not worry about things. And it really disturbs me when children are placed in situations where they got to worry about things. They should be able to be a child. I loved that time in my life when I had little children, and I miss it. And I wish, you know, I could go back to it, but I can't. But I want to be that way with God. I want to be His child, amen? And just believe Him. And, you know, He knows what He's going to do tomorrow. He's got a plan for you and me tomorrow. Tomorrow, Monday, April the 23rd, 2018, God's got a plan for you. He's your Father. He's got some activities for you tomorrow. He may have some chores for you to do tomorrow. Amen? He's going to meet your needs tomorrow. Say, oh, Pastor, you don't know what I'm dealing with. Don't harden your heart. Just believe God. Amen? Failure to fear God. Someone that doesn't believe God has a hard heart. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Now, this is very parallel to what I just talked about in Proverbs 28. He says in Mark chapter 10 and verse 5, Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart, He wrote you this precept. And it's the precept that Moses had given to them regarding a bill of divorcement. And what he's saying to them is this. He says, basically, you were going to do it anyway. And so Moses wrote this as a result of your decision. The hardness of your heart. In Romans chapter 2, it says that they, and let's just look at Romans chapter 2, but keep your finger in Mark. I just want to read the verse to you, and we'll come right back. Romans chapter 2. Sorry about the sword drill here. In Romans chapter 2, in verse 4, he says, despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But, verse 5, after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. In other words, when you disregard God and you do what you want to do anyway, it's because you have a hard heart. It is a refusal to obey. And then Mark chapter 6 is really interesting. Mark chapter 6 and verse 52. We'll finish here. We're going to go back to Exodus, so we're almost done here in the New Testament. Mark chapter 6. And right there towards the end of the chapter, verse 52. Now, this is the disciples. They had seen the Lord feed the 5,000. And they had seen Him feed another group of people, and miraculously in both cases. Have you seen the miracles of God? Have you? Amen? Hope you're looking. He's doing them. We don't see these kinds of miracles today. We see some miracles, though. And God's always at work. You just got to pay attention to it. So He says to them, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 51. He went up, Mark 6, 51. He went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. Now, He was walking on the water, if you remember. And in verse 49, and there was a storm. And He says, be of good cheer. In verse 50, it is I, be not afraid. He went up into them, verse 51, into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Verse 52, 4. They considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Now, there's another clue for us to consider. They just saw him miraculously feed 5,000 people, but they forgot about that. And now he walks on the sea and calms the storm, and they're amazed at the fact he can do that. And in verse 51, and they wondered, how can this be? How can this be? I can't explain this. And he says, because they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Again, just a refusal to see God at work is what happened there. Have you ever seen God meet a need miraculously? If God has met a need for you miraculously, raise your hand somewhere along the way. Amen. I think all of us. And we could tell the stories to one another of the time that we had a bill to pay and God paid the bill, or we needed a place to live and God gave us a place to live, or we were sick and God healed us, or little things, big things, things that God did. God does things, amen? So why is it sitting here on a Sunday night, we look at tomorrow and we go, oh no, it's going to be a terrible day. God's not going to ever do anything else again, ever, ever, ever. Do we not remember what he's done in the past? Israel, they miraculously cross the Red Sea on dry ground. The sea closes in on the army of the Egyptians. They go off into the wilderness and they stop and they say, oh, God's going to let us die. Moses, you brought us here to kill us with hunger. God, you know, God, how can God provide for us? This is just terrible. He just finished parting the Red Sea and killing their enemies. Is a God that can do that can't feed you? Did he feed them? Yeah. Even despite their lack of faith, in spite of their lack of faith. Have you seen God work? Do you think he's done? Do you think maybe he might do something again? Amen. And lots of things God can do. You just got to learn to trust God. Amen. And you see now the evidence. Let me review this just a tad, then we'll go back to Exodus. In fact, turn back to Exodus chapter 9, and we'll kind of review what I just did, and then we'll finish up. Hard heart, spiritual blindness, refusing to believe, refusal to obey, not seeing the works of God. All these things are evident, are a person with a hard heart. And so now let's look at Pharaoh, because he is the subject of the hour, and his hard heart. And let's see what we know about him. And I have more notes than I have time, but let's just look at a few of them. Exodus chapter 9. Now, let me begin reading in verse 1. I may not go all the way to verse 7, or I might. We'll see if I get what I need here. But look at verse 1 of Exodus chapter 9. They have already seen water turned into blood, frogs and lice and flies. And now in verse 1 of chapter 9, the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For if thou refuse to let them go and wilt not and wilt hold them still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, upon the horses and the asses, the camels, the oxen, the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain. And that word simply means death. And the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all that is the children of Israel. And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. Now, stop right there. There's no even evidence that Pharaoh regarded what he was told. In this case, God doesn't even pause to say Pharaoh said no. We know Pharaoh said no because God made a promise. If you let my people go, there will not be judgment. Now watch me. One of the signs of a hard heart is disregarding the judgment of God. Let's talk about lost people. We knock on the door and we tell the person, if you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. We don't do it that way, but the message is there. We're warning you. There's an eternal judgment coming, and you need to make a decision to choose Christ and his salvation so you won't face that judgment. I don't care, they say. There's no such thing. I was talking to a fellow in Utah. You still hear his words. Prove to me there's a hell, he said. Well, All I can do is tell you what God said. If you don't believe God, you'll have to find out the other way, which is the same situation Pharaoh was in. You either believe God or find out the other way. The other way is judgment, right? But a hard heart disregards judgment. God won't judge me. God's not judging me. Now, don't misunderstand. Sometimes the difficulties, in fact, often difficulties are not judgment. But judgment can come. And Pharaoh, folks, I mean, read the writing on the wall, son. Water into blood, frogs, lice, the flies. We've already seen four enormous plagues, each given by Moses' command. Don't you think there's going to be a fifth? Do you really think he's not going to do this? But a hard heart says, I'm more interested in doing what I want than I am worried about the judgment of God. Let me say that again. A hard heart says, I want my sin more than I care about God's judgment. God can change that opinion, can't he? Sadly, grievously, lost people will not have a second chance to get saved. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. A hard heart disregards the judgment of God until it experiences that judgment. That surely shouldn't be the case with us. Amen? As a saved person, it's not. And as a saved person, we should obey. So in verse 7, Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead. And look at this. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. Not only did he ignore the judgment of God as it was promised, he ignored the command after the judgment came. It's not a popular thing today to remind the world that many of the things that they're suffering is because of God's judgment. What was it in the 70s that AIDS came out? And you don't even hardly hear about AIDS anymore, but it's still, I forgot the numbers of people in Africa that died from AIDS. And folks, AIDS is transmitted almost exclusively by immorality. Now, there are blood transfusions that can cause that, but the use of intravenous drugs and drugs you squirt into your system and immoral activity was how AIDS was. And so they said, we need to educate people. And I'm not trying to mock them, but their plan failed. We need to educate people. If they knew, then they wouldn't behave that way. Have you ever met an alcoholic? If they knew what alcohol would do, they'd quit drinking? Mm-mm. Ever met a drug addict? If they knew what the drug could do, they'd quit taking it? It doesn't work that way. And it didn't work that way with immorality either, because people choose their sin even in the face of judgment. That's part of having a hard heart. I'm almost out of time. Real quick, just a couple more things. In verses 11 and 12 of chapter 9, it describes the people suffering, the boils on their bodies and so on. But a hard heart doesn't even see the suffering of other people. If Pharaoh, even in spite of his pride, he should have understood. In fact, later on, his people, his counselors told him, Egypt is destroyed. You and your hard heart have destroyed Egypt because you wouldn't listen to God. And now these plagues have come upon our nation and you wouldn't listen. And the suffering of the people was less important to him than what he wanted, and he disobeyed God anyway. There's an application there for us, by the way. If we don't spread the gospel, folks are going to suffer, and we need to pay attention to that. Just really quick, look at the last few verses, and we'll be done. So I read you already in verse 27, and I chuckle when I read this verse. He says in verse 27, I have sinned this time. Why do I chuckle? Well, yeah, you sinned this time. And you sinned back in chapter 7 when the water became blood. And you sinned in chapter 7 and 8 when the frogs came. And you sinned in chapter 8 when the lice came. And you sinned in chapter 8 when the flies came. And you sinned in chapter 9 when the animals were killed. And you sinned in chapter 9 when the boils came. And now in verse, the seventh plague, the thunder and hail, you've sinned. Oh, yeah, you've sinned this time. And all the other times as well. But there is a partial confession being made here, and really all he's doing is playing to the audience. Moses, I want you to know, I know I'm wrong. Well, if you know you're wrong, then why won't you change? But he doesn't, does he? Because his concern is not obeying God, believing God, hearing God, following God's command. His concern is, I don't want to suffer. As we've explained before, if a person just gets saved because they don't want to go to hell, they missed the point. Salvation, a benefit of salvation is escaping hell, but the primary objective of salvation is for the Lord to change us and take our sin away from our life and to make us holy. If you just got saved so you can be wicked and not go to hell, you didn't get saved. You didn't get saved so you could be wicked is the point there. Yeah, I've sinned this time, he says. But look at verse 34 and verse 35. When Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more. And here it is. And hardened his heart, he and his servants, and the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. Neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses. So, maybe too much analysis here, but we've seen the cause and we've seen the evidence. And now the question is, what's the solution? It's really just one thing. And I don't even have a verse for it, but you'll know it's right. It's believe God. Amen? It's believe God. Believe what God said. Believe what God promised. Believe what God says sin will do in your life. Believe what God says he can do if we will obey him. So the devil is in overtime mode, doing everything he can to keep you from believing God. But that shouldn't make any difference in our life, amen? This is the truth. And I believe it. And that's a good thing. Like a little child, God, I believe your promises. You know, I'm in the boat on the sea in the storm. The water's filling the boat. It looks like we're about to sink. But you put me here, Lord, so I guess I'll be okay. And what's the worst thing that can happen to you? Have you heard the story of the martyr? There was a martyr, and he was being tried for his faith. And he was being tried for possessing a Bible and for reading the Word of God. The devil hates the Word of God. And the people that were trying him said, unless you renounce your faith, we're going to burn you at the stake. And the fellow, this is a true story, I wish I could remember his name, Brother Hickson might know his name. The fellow said this, do you think you can threaten me with heaven? You're going to burn me at the stake? I'm going to step into eternity with my Savior. And not only that, but I'm going to get the, what's the word I want to use? The blessing of being able to die for him. And you think you can threaten me with that? What's the worst that can happen, folks? Some people might say, well, Pastor, the worst that could happen is if I don't get what I want. Well, that might be the best thing that could happen, amen? What would be best is if God got what he wanted. He's a good God. Let's not have a hard heart. Let's believe what he said. Let's all stand if you would.